online and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening. It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donald Kavanagh. In this bulletin, health officials have recommended sporting events be played behind closed doors. They're also advising people to work from home where they can and making other suggestions as well. A briefing has just begun. We'll have more detail as the programme unfolds. Nursing homes are fearful that national visitor restrictions may have to be brought back in if the spread of COVID-19 doesn't slow. Cases have now been identified at two facilities in the southeast over the past 24 hours. Concerns expressed about the Leaving Cert in this country and how it will be assessed, and a multi-million euro extension announced for LYIT. We'll hear from the college president. And later in the bulletin, we'll have Oisin here with the sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin with health officials have made a number of recommendations. The cabinet's been meeting this afternoon. That meeting ended within the past half hour. And just within the past few minutes, the Taoiseach, health minister and acting chief medical officer have begun a briefing. This initial report comes from Andrew Louth.
Cabinet has been meeting all afternoon to discuss the recommendations made by NPHET. Among the recommendations is that face coverings should be worn if people share a vehicle, but are from different households. It also recommends that sporting events should take place behind closed doors. Currently, up to 200 people can attend matches. People who have been working from home will continue to be asked to do so. The meeting of the Cabinet has finished in the last few minutes, with the Taoiseach, the Health Minister and the Acting Chief Medical Officer to address the media shortly.
Well, that briefing is now underway. We hope to be able to bring you some clips from that briefing as the programme continues. Nursing homes are fearful that national visitor restrictions may have to be reintroduced if the spread of COVID-19 doesn't slow. Cases have now been identified at two facilities in the southeast over the course of the past 24 hours. Moon Coyne Residential Care Centre in Kilkenny has had a staff member test positive, while a person at the Kerloch Nursing Home in County Wexford also has a case. Nursing Homes Ireland Chief Executive Tadhg Daly says there may have to be consideration given to stopping visitors.
That is a real prospect at this point in time, unfortunately. As you say, it was very difficult at the outset, but it was done in the best interest of the safety and welfare of both residents and staff. At the moment, in the three counties, Kildare, Laois and Offaly, there are very strict visitor restrictions have been reintroduced. And clearly, if the numbers continue to rise, that is something that will have to be considered right across the nursing home sector in the future.
And there are calls for more transparency around the upcoming predicted Leaving Cert results. It comes after heavy criticism of the A-level and GCSE predicted grades in the UK. Leaving Cert results are due to be published on September 7th. Doctor in Education Policy at Trinity College Dublin, John Walsh, says things must be made clearer.
I think England was particularly bad. Over 40% of students' marks were adjusted downwards. Students attending less advantaged schools, state schools rather than selective schools, they suffered disproportionately. They were marked down in a disproportionate way. We don't know what the algorithm is, and we don't know what the kind of weighting is given to each factor within the algorithm. The minister should publish the algorithm and should set out kind of what are the weightings.
Some schools have sacrificed staff rooms to make way for additional classrooms ahead of reopening. Teachers of subjects such as art and woodwork are questioning how they'll manage practical classes with the reopening of schools set to begin in the coming days. With more, here's Casey O'Riordan.
Prefabs are being assembled, classroom clutter is being cleared out and smaller desks have been purchased, all in an effort to create more space between students and staff. President of the ASTI, Anne Piggott, says every inch of available space is being used.
PE halls, assembly areas, staff rooms actually have disappeared. Some staff rooms have turned into two and three classrooms.
With schools starting to reopen from next week, teachers of practical subjects such as art and home ec are worried about how they'll manage students sharing equipment.
Minister for Education is yet to release specific guidelines for practical subjects. She has stated that they'll be published at the end of September. This isn't really acceptable considering we're back at the end of August.
Quite impossible to plan how equipment will be dished out, how will it be cleaned, when will it be cleaned.
Teachers have expressed concerns over the practicality of getting students to socially distance. Some schools have made arrangements for teachers to patrol corridors at break times to try to manage the guidelines, whilst other schools plan to stagger lunchtime or put an end to students going uptown for their break in case they congregate outside shops.
A leading public health expert believes there is still not enough North-South cooperation in the battle against COVID-19. Dr. Gabriel Scally is Professor of Health at the University of Bristol. He says significant investment is needed in the reopening of schools. And speaking to Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show, he says while more clarity on the government's strategy is needed, there also needs to be more collaboration from governments on each side of the border.
We could do it on a one-island approach, and it would be more difficult. Scotland and Nicola Sturgeon is absolutely behind a zero-COVID approach, absolutely. And she had more difficulty with a 96-mile border with England. But even if we can get the North and the South to agree, and there's still differences. There are differences in isolation times, depending whether you're in Strabane or Lifford. There are differences in the number of symptoms. There are four symptoms spoken about in terms of public education in the North and five symptoms in the South. There are a whole string of things that aren't properly aligned up, and there still isn't, to my view, enough North-South cooperation on this. But we could get to zero, and we could keep it there, and that would be the fairest thing for everyone. But what I'm saying is that we don't know what the government's plan is or their strategy is for dealing with the virus. What's it going to look like for the next 6-9 months? And also, I think to go back to the schools issue again, really some significant investment of resources and effort into getting schools open safely. And I'm a big advocate of changing the way schools work, of building new temporary buildings or using marquees or taking over places, halls or whatever that aren't being used at the moment locally to try and expand the school, give more space, have more teaching done outdoors, more ventilation and keeping schools safe.
And that was Dr. Gabriel Scally. Well, the Stormont executive will meet on Thursday to decide if pandemic restrictions need to be reintroduced north of the border. Health officials there are warning of a strong and striking increase in COVID-19 infections. 41 more people have tested positive for coronavirus in the north today. One more patient with the disease has died. The North's chief medical officer says local lockdowns and limits on people gathering are very much on the table. Other news for a time, but we will return, as I say, to that briefing that's taking place. The Taoiseach, the Health Minister and the Acting Chief Medical Officer briefing the media following today's Cabinet meeting. As soon as we have audio from that briefing, we'll go back to it. But for now, in other news, a multi-million euro extension project has been announced for Letterkenny Institute of Technology. It'll include the construction of a library and a general education building. It's part of a national project to deliver 11 new higher education buildings across the country, facilitating 8,000 additional student enrolments. Well, LYIT President Paul Hannigan says it's a significant and necessary investment as student numbers in Letterkenny continue to grow.
Delighted to get the confirmation on it that it's going ahead and funding is available for it. A lot of work has been done here over the last 3 years in terms of preparation for this, and our estates office under the guidance of Mary Daly has done some tremendous work with inputs from everybody else. So we're really delighted that the green light has been given to this project. And as we're moving towards a student population, 4,500 students now, hopefully increasing further in future years, it's great to have the facilities to accommodate them.
The mineral exploration firm Arkel has raised €660,000 to seek gold and zinc in three locations, including the continuation of a gold exploration programme at Glentoher in Inishowen. The Dublin-based firm placed 75 million new shares at 0.8 of a penny each on the London Stock Exchange. With more detail, here's Ben Finnegan.
Arkel Resources says its latest shares placing will fully fund their planned sampling and drilling campaigns through to the end of 2021 at the site near Carndonagh and also at its site by the Mine River in Wicklow. The company is also drilling for zinc at a site in County Limerick. Arkel say the Inishowen Gold Project is highly prospective for mesothermal gold mineralisation. They are the first company to drill for gold in the area and say they've had encouraging results. The initial discovery was made in early 2016, while further progress was reported in June 2016 and September 2017.
A Donegal woman has lost a substantial amount of money after falling victim to a smishing scam. Garthy and Milford are investigating the incident, which happened on Saturday between 4 and 7:30. The woman received a text message informing her that her bank account had been frozen. She then received a phone call instructing her to insert her card into a card reader. That resulted in funds being withdrawn from her account. Sergeant Charlene Anderson is again reminding people to never disclose personal details over the phone or online.
Garthy and Milford are are currently investigating another smishing scam, which occurred on the 15th of August between 4pm and 7:30pm. Now, on that date, a lady was contacted by text informing her that her bank account had been frozen, and a representative would be in touch with her shortly in relation to the incident. A further text message was then received with the representative's name, and a short time later, the lady received a call from this representative. She was given instructions to insert her card into a card reader, which she did, and resulting in a considerable amount of money being removed from her account. So, as always, our advice remains the same: to never give out your personal information, like your PIN number, your bank details. Delete a message if you get something of this nature. If it's an email, obviously don't click on the link. And if something like this does happen to you, we would advise you to contact your bank, and indeed contact ourselves as well.
Concerns have been raised over the clearing out of keepers' cottages on Inishtrahill Island. It's reported a number of items of furniture were burnt on the island off Malin Head under the direction of the Commissioners of Irish Lights. Danny McLaughlin is administrator of a private Facebook group dedicated to the island. He says many of the items are of historical significance.
One of our members, Jennifer Doherty, who's a group member, brought to the attention over the weekend that there'd been some burning taking place on the island. One of her friends had been there and had noticed that wardrobes and other furniture from the old keepers' cottages had been was subject to being burnt, and this friend had noticed that there were signatures of former occupants of the island, probably keepers, written on the backs of the wardrobes, and some branding from the Irish Lights as well, dating back to 1904. So there was a concern that these historical artefacts that tell a real rich history of the island were being destroyed, perhaps without any recording or, you know, archiving of what they were and what they represented.
And that was Danny McLaughlin. Well, Robert McCabe, the Director of Coastal Operations with Irish Lights, has given reassurances that every effort is being made to preserve the properties and develop them for alternative use.
Actually, what's happening on the island is a very positive development in terms of trying to mothball and preserve the properties so that we can have an alternative use for them. Since we finished solarising the station and took away the need for diesel on the station, so we've removed all the requirements for diesel, the old keepers' cottages are now not required for the aid to navigation. So we've been preserving them and trying to keep them in a condition where we can find an alternative use. That can't be just any use. It has to be a use that's sympathetic to the history and the heritage of the island. So with regard to the wardrobe and the signatures, I do think we can learn from that. The wardrobe itself wasn't an artefact by any means, and there was woodworm in it that meant that we couldn't keep it in storage.
And there are photographs from that Facebook page on our website, highlandradio.com.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny, with the new Donegal GA Raven range, including zip-ups, tracksuit bottoms and shorts, available in-store and online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 5:15 and we say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
Yeah, thanks, Donal. Sport is set to be a victim of the recent spike in COVID-19 cases, as you heard in the news. The Cabinet are forcing all sporting events back behind closed doors until at least the 13th of September. At present, crowds no bigger than 200 are allowed to attend outdoor sporting events. It would mean there'll be no spectators at this weekend's Donegal Championship games, or indeed at Finn Harps away match in the League of Ireland or the Premier Division of the League of Ireland away to Waterford United. Well, two seasons of Champions League football merged tonight, with the finalists from last season to be decided, and the next season's qualifiers are getting underway. French champions Paris Saint-Germain take on a Bundesliga club RB Leipzig in the first of the semi-finals in Lisbon. That one kicks off at 8 o'clock. Kylian Mbappe is fit again and is set to appear for PSG. Celtic are in Champions League qualifying action against KR Reykjavik in Glasgow. The format has been changed, so ties will be played as one leg in order to deal with the busy fixture schedule due to the pandemic. Kickoff at Celtic Park is at 7:45. Celtic boss Neil Lennon isn't in favour of a single-legged European tie.
If you're on the other end of a defeat, then I'm sure it's pretty hard to consume sometimes. They've been thrown up a lot of strange and, you know, different types of games. Me personally would much prefer the two-legged affairs.
Well, Linfield's Champions League first qualifying round tie in Poland is going ahead this evening, despite Legia Warsaw having a player testing positive for COVID-19. The Polish champions announced the positive test late on Monday. Linfield were granted a bye, of course, to the game after their Kosovan opponents, FC Drita, had two positive cases before last week's scheduled tie in Switzerland. There's action in the SSE Eritrea League later in the Premier Division. Sligo Rovers are hosting Waterford at the Showgrounds. That one's actually kicking off in just under a half an hour's time at 5:45. A win for the home team would take them out of the relegation zone. In the Donegal Youth League tonight, there's one game penciled on the start at 7:15. It's Milford United up against Drumkeen. Now to horse racing. There's been an early winner in Roscommon for Donegal jockey Dylan Brown McMonagall. He was on board Snapperettia and came first home at 5-4 for trainer Joseph Patrick O'Brien. So another good start to meet for the young Donegal man Dylan Brown McMonagall, who's picked up a winner within the last half hour or so in Roscommon. In rugby, there is further injury blows for Ulster, with Robert Bellacoon facing a number of months out of action. He requires surgery after tearing his hamstring, but Sean Reedy is also looking at time on the sideline. A calf injury could rule him out for up to 6 weeks. Ulster will play their first game in 6 months on Sunday when they face Connacht in the Pro 14 in Dublin. Former professional cyclist Conor Dunn has confirmed he will compete in this month's Donegal Ultra 555. Dunn, a broadcaster with the Global Cycling Network, will take his bike and camera to the northwest to take on the solo challenge around the 555 kilometres of the coast and county of Donegal. He has competed before in the likes of the Giro d'Italia and the Vuelta a España. This year's event has been moved from June and will start next Friday, the 28th of August. Finally, for the moment, in Gaelic Games, there's one match tonight in Derry Club Championship. It's on the hurling front in Group Bay. Sláinte are making the trip to Namaha, and that one gets underway at 7:30. That's your sport for today, Donal.
Thank you, Oisín. And just to let you know, we've just heard from Dublin that that briefing featuring Taoiseach Micheál Martin, Health Minister Stephen Donnelly and the Acting Chief Medical Officer Dr. Ronan Glynn will not now get underway until around about 5:30. We had thought it was starting at 5:00, but it now seems it'll be 5:30 or shortly after it before that briefing actually starts. But what we are being told, obviously, as we said, is that a number of recommendations made by the Public Health Emergency Team, including that sporting events be played behind closed doors, will be announced at that particular briefing. But we understand the briefing will be starting shortly after 5:30. Gardaí are appealing for information after two vehicles were set alight outside a business premises in Bridgend on Wednesday. It's believed an accelerant was used to start the fire at around 11:30 at the tyre centre. Sergeant Charlene Anderson is urging anyone with information to come forward.
Gardaí and Buncrana are appealing for witnesses to an incident which occurred on Wednesday, the 12th of August, at approximately 11:30 p.m. And this occurred at the tyre centre in Bridgend. Now, two vehicles which were located outside the premises were set on fire, and it would appear that an accelerant was used, which caused the blaze. So we're just asking this morning that if anybody witnessed the incident, or indeed if anybody was in the vicinity around the time this incident occurred, and they may have dash cam footage, we would be anxious to speak to them, and they can contact us at Buncrana Garda Station, as always, on 9320540. In turn, they can contact the Garda Confidential line either on 1800 666 111.
A deposit return scheme for plastic bottles could be in place within months. It would see a down payment of between 8 and 22 cent on bottles that would then be refunded when the bottles are recycled. Tom Douglas reports.
This system has already been trialled in a supermarket in Carrickmacross in County Monaghan. Andrew Spare from the local Tidy Towns was the project lead. He says it was a runaway success until the pandemic started.
We'd estimated that we would recycle something in the order of 1,000 bottles a week. And that's how we worked out our all our finances and stuff like that on that. In fact, when it got underway, we were recycling close on 1,000 bottles a day.
The reverse vending machine offered a 10-cent voucher in the local supermarket in return for a bottle. The scheme proved so popular that that had to be reduced to 5. This scheme would also be needed to achieve 90% plastic recycling across Ireland, according to Repack.
an all-island approach is needed to reduce rural crime. That's according to Foyle MLA Martina Anderson, following a recent report which revealed rural crime is up 18% in the north at a cost of £3.3 million. She says, as well as the implications of COVID-19 and Brexit, rural crime will leave those in the agricultural sector with added pressures. Ms Anderson says the PSNI and Gardaí must ensure adequate measures are in place to combat the scourge.
When I looked at the latest Farmers Union Mutual report, which shows that crime has risen by 18%, amounting to £3.3 million a year across the north. Now, these costs to individual farms are huge, but, you know, given the increasing expenses of farming equipment, particularly as a consequence of COVID, all of that has fed into a growing fear of crime within the farming community. And, you know, the fact that farmers are resorting to costly security measures to try to protect their property, all of the implications of all of that's bad enough on top of COVID, and then they're facing what they call the fear of going over a cliff in 4 months' time because of Brexit and dealing with rural crime. It's all putting additional pressures on farmers and many others in the agri-food and the agriculture sector.
And particularly in relation to the Northwest, we know that the border is seen as some as an easy getaway, so there would possibly need to be a cross-border element to this.
Without doubt, and we've always called for greater connectivity across the island, and, you know, the fact that we have a partitioned part of this island has caused consequences for many people, including farmers and the farming community and the agriculture economy. You know, it plays a central role in our society, north and south. So both the PSNI and the Gardaí need to ensure that every possible measure is taken so that farmers feel that they are being adequately protected. But, you know, their livelihoods also has been put in jeopardy here. And we also need to ensure that the criminal acts carried out are faced down. And that's where we need an all-Ireland approach to policing.
And that was Foyle MLA Martina Anderson speaking there to Michaela Clark. The Stormont Executive, as we said earlier, will meet on Thursday to decide if pandemic restrictions need to be reintroduced. Health officials north of the border are warning of a strong and striking increase in COVID-19 infections. 41 more people tested positive for coronavirus today. One more patient with the disease has been confirmed to have died. The North's Chief Medical Officer is Michael McBride.
Neither Ian nor I will hesitate one moment at providing advice to the Minister or to the Executive if we feel that restrictions either at a local level or general restrictions are required to again suppress the virus and bring the pandemic under control. That might include us looking at restrictions on the number of individuals, you're gathering in family meetings indoors, the number of households coming together.
And looking at the weather forecast, and Met Éireann tell us that a drier and brighter spells will develop this evening. Rain will gradually clear to the northeast. Light westerly winds becoming variable light by late evening. Tonight will be mostly dry with clear spells. Some mist and fog patches developing. Lowest overnight temperatures 13 to 14 degrees Celsius in mostly light and variable winds. Cloud will gradually increase tomorrow morning with rain and drizzle extending from the south through the afternoon. Tomorrow will be breezy with moderate to fresh and gusty easterly winds veering southeasterly in the evening and strengthening. Highest temperatures tomorrow 17 to 19 degrees Celsius. Main stories in brief. A health briefing is due to begin shortly with the Taoiseach Health Minister and Acting Chief Medical Officer. It follows the conclusion of a cabinet meeting just before 5 o'clock. Health officials have recommended sporting events be played behind closed doors in new guidance to the government. A number of other recommendations have been made, and we understand the cabinet has accepted them. Details will be announced in the course of the next 30 minutes or so. Nursing homes are fearful that national visitor restrictions may have to be brought in if the spread of COVID-19 doesn't slow. It follows the identification of cases at two nursing homes in the southeast over the course of the past 24 hours. And in other news, the president of LYIT says as student numbers continue to grow there, it's important that a new building programme has been announced. And we're back with news again at 6 o'clock. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Tuesday evening, the 18th of August. The death has taken place at his home of Aubrey Brett, Kilclooney, Portnew. His remains will arrive at St Connell's Church, Kilclooney, tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral mass on Thursday morning at 11 with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. In accordance with HSC and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family and close friends. The death has taken place of Elizabeth Jane Lily Johnson, née Armstrong, 22 Millmount Gardens, Strabane. Due to government guidelines, the wake is strictly private, please. Funeral from her late home on Monday next at 11:30, going to Christchurch, Strabane for service at 12 noon, with burial afterwards in Ernie Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations to Christchurch or Mary Curry, care of Philip Smith, 71 Derry Road, Strabane. The death has taken place of Miles McBride, Kerry Keel. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Requiem Mass on Thursday at 12 noon in Our Lady of Lourdes Church, Kerry Keel, with burial afterward at Massmount Cemetery in Fannad. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Bumblance Children's Ambulance, care of Sweeney Funeral Directors. Funeral Mass can be viewed on the Milford and Kerry Keel Parish Facebook page. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family and close friends. The death has occurred of Maureen Gilchrist, late of Listymore Park, Castle Derg. Maureen's remains are reposing at her son and daughter-in-law Colm and Roberta Gilchrist's home, 85 Moneygall Road, Castle Derg. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 11:20 for Requiem Mass at 12 noon in St Patrick's Church, Castle Derg. Interment afterwards in St Mary's Cemetery, Cairncorn. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Castle Derg Patients Comfort and Terminally Ill Fund, care of any family member, or Charles Lynch, Funeral Director. Due to government restrictions, the house mass and interment are private to family and close friends. And the death has taken place of Anna Aiken, Ard Big, Remelton. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral service there tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Bank Cemetery, Remelton. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake and funeral are private to family and close friends. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Odyssey Donal Nursing Home Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member.